20 and the first six verses, and then we're going to go into the book of Luke. Second Kings chapter 20 and the first 16 verses. Actually, Matthew 24 after that. So, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order. Set your house in order. Everybody say, set your house in order. Amen. I'm not proclaiming death on anybody today, so don't think that. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth, with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, God of thy father, I have heard thy prayer and seen thy tears, and behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up again to the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42. But that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and another left. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Look at your neighbor and tell him you need to watch. You need to have your house ready. Amen. And one more scripture, Luke chapter 12 and verse 40. Luke chapter 12 and verse 40. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Amen. Let's pray. Let's ask the blessing of the Lord today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your touch. Thank you for your word today, God. Pray that you speak to our hearts and our minds, O God, out of the word of the Lord. Have the experiences of life, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. You can be seated if you'd like. What an October surprise we had last night, right? Just found out that the power in my neighborhood is going to be out, actually quite a big area. They're saying maybe Wednesday night, maybe Thursday, we'll have power again. But it's not affecting me at all. Remember when we first bought our house, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about my experiences with life. Some of you may know this and some of you may not, so just bear with me. I remember we could not afford a great house. And as a matter of fact, we couldn't afford a house at all. And my wife had found this house we live in now, and the house was totally, totally trashed. I mean, it was really disgusting. And I looked at her, and I told her she was out of her mind, and I walked out. Well, that's the house we ended up buying. And one of the first things that happened, we bought that in July of 97. I remember that because my wife and my kids went to camp meeting, and I stayed home and painted the bedroom ceiling, which was all black because the the furnace was bad, and it had blown smoke in all the rooms, and so I painted that, and I fixed the pool and fixed the grill outside so we could eat outside because the kitchen was so nasty that we refused to even put any food in the cabinets. It had roach trails all over it, and I'll spare you all the gory details, but it was really, really gross. I remember the first floor, we don't have any pictures. I wish we had some pictures of the house, but the first floor had orange carpet that was full of cat urine and just black tracks in it. The linoleum in the kitchen was worn down right in the middle of it. It was not, you know, anything to be desired. And the first thing that happened is we got hit by one of these nor'easters. That's what happened last night. You realize that, right? We had a nor'easter hit, and of course this time instead of all water, it was snow, and all the power went out. They've got 2.4 million people now in the Northeast that have no power because of this. So there's a lot of people that are very, very uncomfortable right now. I'm not uncomfortable at all. Our house was toasty warm last night. We didn't have any problems. But it's because I've been working on some stuff. I've been working on some stuff for quite a long time. When that first nor'easter hit back in 1997, I don't remember, it was a remnant of hurricane whatever, I don't know what it was. They got hurricane this and hurricane that. I remember we had thought we needed French drains, and we found out water was coming in from the sewers. Water was coming in the back door. Man, water was coming all over the place. So for about the next, the next 5 years, I worked on various issues. I worked on, got a hold of a jackhammer, and I went to the back porch, which doesn't exist anymore, and down into the walkway, and I jackhammered this hole, put a pump there so at least the water wouldn't come in the basement door anymore, and we fixed the sewer deal, and of course, then we built the addition on the house, and when we built the addition on the house, and that was to take care of my father, we put drainage in on the inside and drainage on the outside and tied it together. If you ever go downstairs in my house, on the outside you'll see a wooden cover. So about 8 foot down from the top, there's a pump there that pumps all the water from around the house. So when we had this last hurricane, I had a little water through the chimney, but that's about it. I really didn't have any problem with that. And then this last year, I went ahead and I bought a generator. And the funny thing is we've never really had the power out. Last year, I think we had the power out for 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. Never before had we had the power out that long in the 14 or 15 years that we lived there. And I just got a feeling. I said, you know what, with the coming of the Lord, you know, the Bible talks about there's going to be earthquakes and there's going to be problems. I said, I should just go ahead and try to get something that we could take care of ourselves if we had to. And I even went to the extra mile of going ahead and getting a fuse box in the garage and tying it into my main fuse box in the house. And earlier this year, my wife had to listen to me whine because I was like, did I do the right thing? Man, I spent almost $1,000 on this. I don't know about you, but I don't like to spend money that I don't have on stuff that I don't need. So I wasn't expecting this big deal to be a big deal yesterday. And Brother Rick and I had somewhere to go. We ended up canceling that because it looked like all of a sudden it was starting to snow real heavy. So we went out to Becky's house for the party for Zachary's birthday. Birthday party was yesterday. Zachary just turned 2. And does everybody know that Bola had her baby? Does everybody know? I think everybody knows. So if you get on the church website, on the Facebook, you'll see pictures there. We've got pictures of the little beautiful son that they haven't named him yet. I think they wait 7 days before they name the child. So he's just everybody's doing well. Bowl is doing very well. And Tayo's just kind of relaxing today and taking care of his son. It's been a tumultuous kind of couple of days for him. The baby came early, and he even sent me to the wrong hospital or tried to send me to the hospital in Brooklyn, but I knew he wasn't going to go that far. So he was kind of all, you know how guys get when they're having babies. Women, they're just like, it's all natural. But the guys, when we're having kids, we get all flustered. So Anyway, the other day, Friday, was Zachary's birthday, which is also going to be the new Tayo's new son's birthday. And yesterday we were out there, and all of a sudden I started to hear these noises, watching branches fall out in the woods. If you've ever been to Becky's house, there's some train tracks back there, and I saw some branches coming down. All of a sudden we heard this big noise that shook the house. And we went outside, Jarrett and I went outside, and there was a huge branch that had fallen on the roof of the house and fell off into the backyard. He's kind of wandering around back there, and he's standing under another big tree. And I told him, I said, well, you better get out of there. And sure enough, it was maybe an hour later, a big branch came down. Would have whacked him pretty good, hurt him really bad if that had come down then. But when I went home, I had no power. And it wasn't a big deal, because I had prepared my house. I'm thinking about all these poor other people. I mean, my entire development, there's not a light. When you go across the street, there's these huge apartment complexes when you go four blocks down. There's no lights there. I don't know how far it goes, but there's a whole bunch of people where I live that are, they're having problems, and it's going to be freezing tonight, and maybe some people will have pipes break because they don't know enough to get upstairs and turn the water off downstairs and flush the toilet and turn the pipes open so the water drains out a little bit so their pipes don't crack. I don't know if it'll freeze hard enough tonight for that to happen or not, but they say it's going to be, you know, another few days like that. But here I am, and I'm feeling guilty because I'm not cold. I got to listen to this noise of the generator. There was one other person in my neighborhood in the whole area that I could hear had a generator going. But I don't have any problems like that. I'll just have to go down and get some gas. I had to get some cash because the credit card machines weren't working. And I began to, and as I was laying in bed last night, I kind of feel like the Lord began to talk to me a little bit. That when I first moved into my house was a disaster. And for 14 years now, or 15, getting close, I'm not sure which, 14, just like I couldn't remember. Next August is going to be our 10th year church anniversary. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a shindig. We're going to have something good in next summer. But that's besides the point. But the Lord began to talk to me how I've spent the last 14 years getting my house in order. And that if I had gone and today had happened 14 years ago, then I would have some big problems because my house was not going to be prepared. And I got to thinking about these scriptures that talk about getting our house in order. And I began to read about Hezekiah, and that's why I said I'm not pronouncing death on anybody. Because that's what not what this is about. The Lord's just simply talking to me about he's coming. And our house needs to be in order. Talking about our personal house, our personal home, the place we live. I'm not talking about the physical structure of where we live, but I'm talking about our own personal being. God is giving us time. And as God gives us time, we need to take that time and begin to work on our own personal walk with God. Amen? That's our house. The Bible says that you are the temple of God. What's the temple? The temple is the house. You are the house of the Lord. And what God is doing for you right now is he's going ahead and giving you some time to set your own temple in order. I don't know if you realize the immensity of what happened in the Japanese earthquake back just a few months ago. But that Japanese earthquake, or last winter or spring or whatever it was, that Japanese earthquake actually turned the axis of the earth, and it actually moved Japan 13 feet. You know that? And, of course, there's some that say, well, it's no big deal. The earth is always moving. I've been reading various things on that, and it also speeded up the rotation of the earth a little bit. And some of them say that, you know what, we don't know what the effect is going to be. Well, I don't know if you realize This last summer was very hot. Usually doesn't get that hot. Now, I understand that nature can be cyclical and everything, so I'm not making any pronouncements. But also in this first crazy weather, do you know the last time it snowed in New Jersey, the year it snowed in New Jersey in October? 1952. That was before I was born. And they had 0.3 inches. So before that, that's, you know, they really don't have any record of it snowing like this. And all of a sudden, in West Jersey, they had 19.6 inches. That's that much snow. And we've got about 6 at our house, and you can see what happened here. They got the trees down, and somebody decided to park in the church parking lot, and a branch fell down on their van. They're probably not going to be happy because I think the van is a Lexus. But, hey, you know what? It's not their parking lot. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But also what that did is actually speeded up the rotation of the earth, as I said, just a hair. But what does the Bible say was going to happen in the last days? He said that he would shorten the days. Is that not what the Bible says? It does say that. You say, well, just shortened it a little bit. Well, if you take that and you put it together with all the other prophecies, and the Bible talks about earthquakes, and I've said before, I've even pointed this out in church, if you weren't here, you can do a search on Google and do a search and say graph earthquakes, and you'll find that since about mid-90s, earthquakes have gone through the roof. And right now, every day, there are about 250 earthquakes. The thing is that we don't see most of them because they're in the ocean or they're in Alaska. They're in unpopulated areas, of course. This last week, they had a big one in Turkey where a whole bunch of people were killed. Would have been a whole lot more people if they had been in a populated area. Even just a few months ago, we had this earthquake in New Jersey. Who ever heard of an earthquake in New Jersey? I never heard of that. Yet the Bible talks about in the last days, these things were going to happen. It also talks about that there was going to be great famines. I don't know if you realize this, but there's quite a stir because bees all over the world are dying, and they can't figure out why these bees are dying. And why that's important is because bees pollinate. And if the bees die off, the pollination is not going to take place like it should. And guess what's going to happen? The food is not going to be what it should be. It's going to way cut back. So we see all these things happening, and we see the Lord, and I feel like the Lord's talking to us today. Each one of us struggles with something. We're not perfect, right? Everybody has issues. What might be an issue for one may not be an issue for another. We all have different things that we struggle with, and for some people they struggle with things of the flesh. Other people struggle with money and power and very many, many different things. The Bible talks about the lust of other things. So it's the problems that we have can vary just as people vary. But the issue is that we've got to be working on our house. We've got to be working on our temple. Because when the time comes, when the Bible talked about, he says, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, they shall be eating, they shall be drinking, they shall be marrying, they shall be given in marriage. When all of a sudden the Lord comes. You know, the Bible also talks about those that in the book of, put that up for me, Brother Stephen, if you're still back there. Matthew chapter 7 in verses 13 and 14, if you would. Some people complain that we're too strict and that we've got, you know, rules, and we've got order, and we really don't have that much. We just ask people to live for God. And what happens is God begins to move on you. And then they take that, and they say, you people are like this. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Right? Go to the next verse. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Hold it right there for a minute. Why would it be that few would find the narrow way? I think it's because of the faith of people. The people They don't understand faith. Faith is the Word of God. Faith is in Jesus Christ. Faith is not some kind of ambiguous thing, some kind of pill that we take. And they listen to what people say instead of getting into the Word of the Lord. And they just can't believe. Well, you know, you folks, you wear dresses and you men dress decently. You don't curse. You don't go partying and all the rest of that stuff. Because the Bible tells us that we're on a narrow path. Amen? The Bible tells us to put off the sins of the flesh. And people don't understand that. They just can't believe that. Perhaps that's what he's talking about here. Because of unbelief, few people enter in. I just can't get over just a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, we had a wonderful family come visit us, didn't leave a visitor card, but man, they acted like we were Martians or something like that. They just looked around, and I was watching them. I like watching people, and they looked very out of place. This is why I said, I don't think we're getting a lot of visitors now. They're really looking for God, but we are getting visitors, so we'll keep working with them. On a good note, I'm working with one of the men that was here last Sunday, and he got a job this week, and guess what? His day off is not Sunday, so he's not able to be here. But we're going to keep working with him, see what I can do with him. And I've been talking to him, teaching him Bible studies, and so on and so forth. So go to the next verse there, Stephen, 15th verse. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. We've been studying the book of 1 John on Thursday nights, and 1 John says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits to see whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone forth in this world. And we find out that didn't start now. That started just a short time after the church was established, because the devil will try to put people to keep you away from being saved and keep you walking a messed up path and so on and so forth. And Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Go ahead to the next 16th verse, I believe it is. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorn or figs of thistles? Go ahead. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. There was two male and a female televangelists lately. A friend of mine was talking to me about it, and he was talking about how they were caught in some kind of sexual relationship somewhere. They both left the United States. And, of course, the Bible says your sin will be found out. That's what the Bible's talking about. Look at the fruits of the life. Amen. Go ahead to the next verse. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a good corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Go ahead. Go ahead. Next one. Next one. Now, here's a very interesting scripture. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what? The will of the Father which is in heaven. You know where that will is found? We've got two wills. We've got the Old Testament, and we've got the New Testament. And this is what we've got to do. Amen? We've got to walk, and we've got to set our house in order according to the word of the Lord. Go ahead to the next verse. Now, the day he's talking about, many shall say to me in that day is the day of the coming of the Lord. Many shall say to me in that day. Notice it doesn't say few. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to miss out because they never set their house in order. They waited. How many of you are procrastinators? I'm a procrastinator, I will admit. I am, Brother Soon, you're a procrastinator. I am a procrastinator. Never to do today what you can put off till tomorrow. I mean, it's great. I have to make myself lists, and then I have to try to make myself do the things on those lists. Sometimes I get motivated, and I work very hard. But by nature, I am a procrastinator. But I cannot allow myself to procrastinate concerning the things of my house. If I had allowed, I could have looked at my physical home and said, I know that I've got this problem and I've got that problem, never fixed anything. I can't tell you how many times I would have been flooded in the last 10 years. I would have been flooded over and over again, and then sit there and say, well, I don't know why I keep getting flooded. Some of you have been to my house when they built that wall there. They used to have a ditch there, and I ended up putting pipes in there. I filled it in with rock, filled it in with sand, filled it in with dirt. It looks pretty good right now. It looks real nice as far as I'm concerned. And across the street, you'll see a house next to mine, across the street from mine. And to the right of that house, everything is overgrown. Sometimes there's bags of garbage in there. And the lady was complaining to me. And I said, why don't you work on it? Why don't you get somebody? Just do what I did. Put your fence to the wall. Nobody's going to care. Clean it up. Take care of your house. Of course, she wanted me to do it. But I'm not responsible for her house. Amen. Now, as a pastor, I'm going to be responsible for what I've told you. But ultimately, if you don't straighten your house up, it's not going to be my problem. Each of us has to straighten our house up for ourselves. And I'm not saying we're a bunch of bad people. I'm thrilled that we got a good church. Amen. I don't think it's growing like I would want it to grow and things are happening like I want. But overall, if I look at the people that are here, you're some good folks. And I am so glad that the Lord brought you into my life. So don't think that I'm sitting here beating on you. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to relate what the Lord kind of talking to me about making sure my house is in order. You see, that lady across the street, if she would just take the time, work on her house a little by little. It took me 2 years to get that thing properly filled in, that big, because first I had to lay the pipe, then I had to break up the driveway. Back when Kyle was here and Brother Rick helped me do the concrete, and Kyle and Joe helped me put the concrete that we broke up the driveway with into there, and then we've got sand and had to take it. We were about 20 yards of sand, wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow. That was no fun. And then 20 yards of dirt, then an additional 10 yards, I believe. But it took me time. It didn't happen overnight. Somebody, Brother Jonathan, went to my house a couple of months ago when they first came here. We had them over for dinner. And he says, wow, look at all this stuff you get. I put central vacuum in. And central vacuum is not very expensive. What's expensive is having the labor to somebody to put it in for you, because you got to get in the walls and you got to do this and you got to do that. Well, I worked on it a little bit at a time, and now I got central vacuum in my house. It would have cost somebody, $6,000 or $7,000. Ended up costing me about $1,500 or $1,800. But now my house can be clean. My wife's got allergies, so it'll take the dust and put it outside, which is why I did that, to help my wife. But it's just been a process. It's been a long, tedious process. We finally got this summer, Brother Leo was so good to me and helped me. We got my exercise room going. He helped me with some other things around the house. But it's taken me years to get the house to the place it is now. And it's still not where I want it to be. I just got to keep working on it. I get tired sometimes. Anybody ever get tired? I get tired. It's really no different than our own walk with the Lord, our own temple, our own house with God. We've just got to keep at it. We've got to keep praying. Anybody ever get to the place where you feel like, I just don't feel like praying? I'll be honest. I get there sometimes. But you know what? When I was sick this past couple of weeks, I haven't been praying too much because I just haven't been feeling good, haven't been feeling like getting up. And I watch what happens when I don't pray. I see people that become discouraged. I see people that just drop out of church. I see things that happen. And all that tells me, when I pray, God's hearing. And sometimes we don't see that. What you really need to do is you really need to ask the Lord to show you the results of your prayer. And we've had those testimonies. There's been some folks, we've prayed for them. I prayed, God, let them see me in their dreams. They've come into tears in my office, to tears in the church. I see you in my dreams. I wake up in the morning. But I also found out that people can resist the Lord. And we can pray for them, and we can work on them, and they'll keep resisting God. But what happens if you give up? If you give up, they're definitely going to fall farther and farther away from God. Sometimes I look at my list, and my list is getting pretty long, and I'm like, you know, it takes a long time to pray for these folks. And sometimes I'll break it up into different days and so on and so forth. But I have seen that once I stop praying for somebody, that's it. We get to the place where we get tired of praying. But I see the things that happen if I don't pray. Pray that the Lord will show you when I pray, when you pray. Just tell the Lord, hey, God, you know, when I pray, would you show me what's happening? You will be amazed that you'll see some things that will happen. But it's also the same thing with our own personal walk with the Lord. Just pray that the Lord would help you. Keep working on me, Lord. Be patient with me, God. And what never ceases to amaze me, there was somebody, and I can't remember who they are anymore or anything, but I remember who they are. I remember who they are, and they're not here anymore. But the man had backslid. I'm not going to give you any names. He had backslid from Bible college, and he had gone to the life of alcoholism, started living with a girl, taught her a Bible study, and she got the Holy Ghost. Of all the crazy things I ever heard in my life. So we ended up baptizing her. He prayed back through, kind of, and gave up his old life and stuff. But then he began to watch me deal with other people, and he got angry with me. Because I was not hard on folks. Does that remind you of a Bible story? It's called The Unjust Steward. The one that owed much, and he went to the Lord, and he said, forgive me, you know, I can't pay the debt. And he forgave him, and what did he do the first thing? He went to another person that owed him money and said, pay up or I'm going to throw you in jail. And the master, it says, saw this. And was so angry that he threw him to jail forever. When we see other people, we need to be patient with them. Amen? Come on, amen. If God has been merciful to you, you need to be merciful to somebody else. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, putting yourself in an abusive situation. You don't have to be in a bad situation to let people abuse you. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm talking about being kind to folks and loving folks. Because with the same judgment that the Scripture says that you mete out, you're going to be judged also. So he did that, and then he got mad at me, and he left. And this has been several years ago, so most of you have absolutely no idea who I'm talking about, and that's good. But it's stuff that I've seen. When all the time he could have been working on his house. And we need to do that, do we not? Jesus said, you don't know when I'm coming. As a matter of fact, here we find many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? And thy name done many wonderful works? And go to the next verse, and he will say unto me that day, I never knew you. 23rd verse, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice he doesn't say, you that work sin. Because sin is the act. Iniquity is the spirit behind the act. Iniquity is that thing that says, you know what? You're not going to tell me what to do. Here's the thing. If I'm preaching to you the word of the Lord, and you don't want to do it, you're not opposing me. You're opposing the word of God. That's where the problem comes in. Amen? Amen. That's where the problem comes in. Depart from me that work iniquity. Never allow yourself to have a spirit that God can't talk to you. Even right now, I don't know why I'm preaching this, but maybe God's talking to some hearts today. Don't let your flesh say to your spirit, ain't going to happen. This is the way I was born. This is the way I'm going to die. You know, some people are like that, and they're not going to change for nothing. And my mother actually made that decision. We baptized her. This is 1984. And she says, you know what? She says, I was born a Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. She broke my heart. She really broke my heart. But there's nothing I could do about that. And you can't allow that to get into your system. If you got that, just pray that the Lord would deliver you from the spirit of iniquity. Amen. Go to the next verse. Here's what I'm talking about. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and works on his house. I will liken to him to a wise man. I'll paraphrase a little bit if you'll allow me the liberty there. That built his house upon the rock. That fixed all the problems with his house. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew. It beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Why do you think I didn't have any problems? I shut off my generator because I haven't got it to the place where I can leave and somebody doesn't steal it if they happen to go in my backyard, so I got to chain it or do something. But I'm still working on my house a little bit. Amen? Amen. Go to the next verse. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doesn't do them. You know, we also had a problem with the sewers in my neighborhood where we live at the bottom of the hill. Let me recommend to you, if you ever buy a house, don't buy a house at the bottom of the hill. Why? Because all the rain comes down the bottom of the hill. And all the leaves. So you can go out there, and I can have all the sewers cleaned off. Perfect. And we have a rainstorm. Everybody else's junk comes down. And then this backs up into the sewers, and then it tries to come back into my house. But I see, I worked on that. That took me years to figure that out. But I actually figured it out. And I don't have any problem. Everybody else is still coming to me and saying, what did you do? I tell them. I said, this is what you got to do. And every one of those folks, I've talked to them recently. How you did you ever do anything? No, I still get sewer water. That's crazy. Who wants sewer water coming in their house? Not me. But they heard what to do, and they didn't do it. So I imagine some of these folks, you know, we had this big rain here just a couple of months ago with this hurricane. Now they don't come talk to me anymore. They go talk to the guy up the street because they know what I'm going to say. It's just like with church. People will do that. Sometimes they won't talk to me. They'll go talk to somebody else, see if they get a different opinion because they know what I'm going to say. Amen. So they went ahead, and it be likened unto a foolish man which built his house. And Sister Evanson, you can go ahead and come. Sister E, you can go ahead and come if you're in back with the babies, if you would come. Built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, that's good right there. Well, that's good. We'll just finish with this verse. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. All that is all pointing to the same thing. Have you been working on your house? Amen. Have you been working on your house? Why don't we stand? Don't you bow your head. Just kind of let the Lord talk to us a little bit. And if you've been working on your house, just keep praying, God, help me to keep working on it. You know, I've got a few more things I want to do in my house. We're talking about, now that we've got a short little car, I'm thinking about maybe putting a bathroom on the first floor. I'll take away part of my garage if it'll fit. Just going to keep working on my house. I've got to put... Maybe that's why I haven't done those doors for you. Who knows? Got to still do a little work on my kitchen. My kitchen's not quite done. What am I going to do? Just going to keep working on my house. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. You know, sometimes I don't feel like doing some yard work. I got some weeds in this year I wasn't really happy with. And so I had to have the lawn treatment people come in to get the weeds out. See, that's the problem. If you don't keep working on your house, the pipes will leak. The windows will get bad. The weeds will grow up. You'll find bushes you didn't even know existed because you just haven't been keeping up with the property. Having a house can be a pain in the neck. My wife keeps telling me I need to sell it and get a condo so I don't have to do anything. Amen. See, you heard that, didn't you? The only thing I don't like about condos is I have no control. See, I can fix everything. If I go to a condo... They say, well, we got to pay somebody $100,000 to do this big roof. I'm stuck. I can't say, well, I ain't going to pay that kind of money. I'll do it myself. Or I'll hire it out. I can't do that. So that's what keeps me from doing that. So for right now, I'm just going to keep working on my house. Amen. Just keep working on the house. How about you? There are things that the Lord's been dealing with you for a long time. And sometimes we get discouraged and we say, well, you know, God's been talking to me about this so long that I don't even know if I can work on it anymore. I'm here to tell you, you can keep working on the house. The day is going to come where Jesus is going to come. You know how, you know, when I went to bed last night, I was so happy. Why? Because I'm not cold. Can you imagine if you had no heat all night and it's 33 degrees in the morning? You're going to be cold in the morning. You're not going to be able, and all the food will be spoiled in the refrigerator by the next day. You know, I've spent, you know, I don't have very much food in the fridge now. But, you know, what if I had steaks in there and I had this and I had that? You know, even if the worst thing, all the thawed stuff unfreezes, the chicken's still going to go bad. The steak's still going to go bad. Amen. All because I didn't take care of my house. Amen. What the Lord is saying to you today is keep working on the house. If you've got struggles with your walk with God, keep chipping away. You know, that's what the devil does to us, isn't it? He goes ahead and he just keeps chipping away. If you've got a weakness, the devil keeps chipping on that. Well, you need to use the devil's strategy and keep working on yourself. Keep chipping yourself. Keep chipping away at your stubbornness. Keep chipping away at your prayerless life. Keep chipping away at your rebellious ways if you have them. Keep chipping away at iniquity. Keep chipping away at sin. Let there be a despising of sin inside. God, I'm sorry I did these things. Help me, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, do you think we could sing that chorus? That's why I'm making arrangements. We tried to find an old song we used to sing, and it's in a songbook that's not here. I remember the words, yeah. It says, that's why I'm making arrangements for heaven, because this world's a temporary place to stay. And my Father, he's preparing a place for me in glory. And I'm waiting on his arrival to take his church away. That's why I'm making arrangements for heaven, because this world's a temporary place. You know, the Bible does say that. It says we're foreigners and we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. There's coming a day I'm going to leave this house I've been working on for so many years. I'm going to go on to a better place. But I'm awaiting his arrival to take his church away. Sing it again. Continue to make arrangements. If you want to keep working on your house, why don't you come? Why don't you kind of gather around, find a place to pray? Let the Lord talk to you a little bit and say, let me help you work on your house. Let me show you some things that you need to do. Don't be like my neighbors across the street. And I'm sure that today they're freezing. And if the water backed up last night, they got sewer water in their basement. They got no electricity to pump it out, because they never made any arrangements. It doesn't have to be that way. It can be to the place when the Lord comes that I'm ready, because I've been working on my house, because I've been keeping on chipping away. Sure, I might get tired of running pipes, and I might get tired of fixing cabinets. I might get tired of cutting grass. I might get tired of doing this, and I might get tired of doing that. But you know what? I got a preparation time, and right now, it's our preparation time. Come on and prepare your heart for the coming of the Lord. Prepare your heart and let him talk to you about preparing that house. Arrangements for heaven, because
'cause this world's a temporary place to stay. Father, He's preparing a place for me in glory. Reminds you, God, with the Word of God today, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to prepare our homes, God, to prepare our temple, God, for Your coming, God. Prepare our hearts for Your power in our life, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us not to be stubborn, God, but help us to be malleable clay in the hands of the potter, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help me, Lord, to keep on working on my house, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give me strength, oh God, to keep on working, Lord, to keep on going, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray You touch, God. Lord, help me, help me, help me, Lord. Help me to work on the house. That's why I'm making arrangements, Lord. I'm making arrangements, Jesus, for heaven, Lord. In the name of the Lord, we pray for Your touch, God. Help us, Lord, every day, God, to work on a house, God. Lord, if we've been falling slack on working on our house, God, help us to get back to work, oh God. We've taken our rest, oh God. We've taken our relaxation, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to work on our home, God. To work on our house, oh God. Our spiritual house, Your Word tells us, God, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, God. And we're that dwelling place where You live, God. And we ask Your touch, God, upon each and every one of us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to work on the house, God. Help us to work on the house, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask You touch in Your strength when His arrival. Come on, sing it. And that's why I'm making arrangements for heaven, because this world's a temporary. I want to live. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love. Love. Thank you.
work on the house. Just a call to say, Lord, help me, God. These old shutters need to be fixed. The door needs to be fixed. The pipes are leaking a little bit, God. Help me, Lord, to do my maintenance on my own personal house, God, upon the temple of God, Lord. Sweet Holy Ghost, sweet Spirit of the Lord. Lord Jesus, help us. This is good for us. This is good for us. Come on, let the Holy Ghost move. The Spirit of the Lord move in this house. to sing one more chorus. It says, oh, let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never. No, never.
Today is prepare our house for his coming. And while he's not yet coming, we'll have to work, keep on working on it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's all bow down our heads. Let's all pray. Lord Jesus, we humble